All right. The day before our celebration of Pentecost. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 24. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame.
What's that?
Huh?
1 Corinthians 15:24.
Chapter 15, verse 34. I'm sorry. Got it? Okay. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Well, what does that mean? Awake to righteousness and sin not.
Called but didn't answer the call.
How do you sin not?
Seek after
what
God.
Verse is that? I'm not here yet. What verse?
15:34. First. What did you say sin was?
If sin not. You awake to righteousness by seeking God. And if you're called of Him and don't and reject, you sin by rejecting His call. That's what I hear.
I'll give you an alternative.
Okay.
Sin not means that everything you do must be of faith, from the source of faith. No more leaning on your own arm of understanding. Abandonment of self in everything. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Amen?
Yeah.
So it's saying a lot of people think they're righteous, but they're deceived.
Right. Anybody that thinks they're righteous is deceived. If you're in any way thinking of yourself, you have been deceived. Everybody understand that?
What do you mean by theological redundant?
No, it follows in order. It follows.
Okay.
If this, then that.
A righteousness is no sin. So you awake to righteousness, no longer sin. No longer use your own arm of understanding. No longer use your calculations and cause and effect and all the other things that we've talked about for years. But then, let's go on. But some will say...
What was the rest of that, though?
What?
Oh,
I speak this to your shame. Sin not. Oh, I'm sorry. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame.
Why the shame? Why the speaking to your shame?
Because it's speaking to your shame if you haven't awoken to righteousness. If you're still living as a Gentile, then you're... It's the whole story.
Sounds like saying if you believe that you're righteous and you're sinning not, then you're really serving the false idols of your deep shame.
You're serving the evil one.
Evil one and false idols of... Not guilt or anxiety, but a deep...
Well, I know, but all that comes from the evil one.
Evil one, yeah.
Evil one. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. They think they do. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, thou madman, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. If you sow a seed, the only way the seed can produce fruit if the seed dies. That's the mystery of God in everything that we don't see, because we try to keep ourselves alive and think that we're in the will of God. Amen? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, made alive, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may be chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. You can't possibly plant something. You can engraft something in, maybe, I don't even know about that, but everything that lives has died before it lives. Has everybody got that in their understanding? And this is why this Pentecost is so important. Anybody have a song to sing, or a question, or an answer, or hum a musical? We could shoot. Oh, there he is. All right.
Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away.
But God, verse 38, but God giveth it a body that hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. They are also celestial bodies, and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening or life-giving spirit. Albeit that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth and earthy. The second is the Lord from heaven. Now, what I want to look at here is this incredible statement that he made. In verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Jesus Christ was the last Adam. Everybody understand that? Now the rest, from then on, there's only been the evil one and Christ. There's no in between. There's no neutral ground. And we've studied for years that the evil one is us. We are the instead of Christ. We were born that way. And every aspect of our life is the instead of Christ, the antichrist, that which we give breath to, that which we give importance to, that which we do is of the antichrist, is of the evil one. There's no exception. That's why your natural mind, your mind, is not subject to the law of God. It can't be. There's nothing about your mind that can be taken into the next, because your mind is fundamentally what dies, what is dead.
Yeah.
And so what is raised from the dead is the mind of Christ. Now we always come back to this. What is the mind of Christ? It's the abandonment or emptying of self. Okay. Now let's go. Let's wait a little bit longer. Let's start again in verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such as they also that are earthy. And such is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. This I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Everybody got that down?
So, if we bear the image of the earthy, we also bear the image of the heavenly.
Only if you bear the image of the heavenly. Remember, he's writing this to those who have not the true knowledge of God, because they're still sinning, they're still in sin. So this whole thing that we're reading, is about. An address to those who are still in sin. And they're still in sin because they have not really died. Amen?
When you say really died, really died.
Means you really died. You were buried.
So then you die, period. Your life is over and you're in the grave.
Well, it's not yet. It's not over, and your life isn't over and in the grave unless you know you died. But the only way you know you died is you no longer use your mind. That's the only thing. You can't. There's nothing about using your mind that is a faith. It's just the same old thing that the Gentiles do.
But the mind of Christ is a mind of faith.
But the mind of Christ is the mind of Christ. The mind of Adam, or the evil one, is the mind of the evil one. Now the evil one is still here. And his purpose is to what? What's his purpose? What's his purpose in you?
Save yourself.
Keep you alone and separate.
No, his purpose is to test to see whether or not you really are in the image of God, or you're still in the image of man. And everything that comes against it, the mind has to come against the faith, and that's its job. The evil one has to continually come against faith. Therefore, he's coming against the Christ in the same way that he came against when the Son of Man was buried in Jesus Christ in baptism. Then the only one that's still alive from God's perspective is Jesus Christ. But the evil one tested him to see if he would revert back to leaning on his own arm of understanding for anything. And that same test is what happens in all believers. We are in the same position as all believers. We are both Son of Man and Son of God. That's the mystery. And that's what happened on Pentecost. That if that hadn't happened on Pentecost, we would be lost. We would be post-hosties. But it's not there just because there's a scripture that says it is. It's there when it's there. The mind of Christ is the exact opposite of the mind of the evil one. But the mind of the evil one is constantly trying to keep you in the picture. And as long as you're in the picture, you are not of faith. You are still the instead of Christ. Does anybody believe me?
I'll tell you what I'm hearing as you talk. Is, you know, we use a four-letter word, mind, that represents so many things. And the mind is fed by the senses, of which that's all we know of to perceive our reality, what we think is reality. And God comes along and says, none of that is real. And you can't interpret reality with your mind, but we think we can because that's all we got. And then he says, throw the whole thing out.
But he did say throw the whole thing out. He said, bury it in baptism.
Whatever. And then we're expected to live by faith, which doesn't count on any of our sensory inputs, but it trusts only in God that we can't see or hear or whatever.
And it trusts, and it's a denial forever of your own understanding of anything.
Yeah.
And you live by faith alone. That's why waiting on God is the test of faith. But it's the scariest thing in the world. So nothing in your life originates or is. If you have to use your brain for anything, you know you're not in faith. You go back and forth. That's the child or the young adult or the teenager that's still in the wilderness. But that's why this incredible scripture says to those that have entered the promised land, not yet the mercy seat, they've entered the promised land because they have overcome the evil one. Remember that?
Overcoming in that sense.
Yeah. It's gone. The evil one is died, and they live by faith alone. Nothing else. Now, again, it has nothing to do with salvation. It has nothing to do whether you're... It has to do with what it means to be a disciple. All right, let's look at... let's look at it just for real quick. Go to Romans 8. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind or give importance to the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, and that's the only mind we have, the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be, or can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Well, you're in the flesh, by this definition, if you're still using your mind. And that's what the Antichrist is constantly trying to get you to do. To give importance to the board of elders in your mind, to the 70 men of the Sanhedrin in you. All right, now let's go to First John.
Let's go back to number 9. That's a declarative position. Where it says, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. It means that the Spirit of God dwells in you.
Well, you're not in the flesh if you're not of the flesh. you can't, I mean, it doesn't, it's not just because it says it's there you're not of flesh. You're not of the flesh when you've abandoned yourself. When you give no importance to what your mind says. You've abandoned it. Because you just saw the carnal mind is enmity against God. So let's go to 1 John, chapter 4. Beloved. Everybody there? Everybody that is going there? Beloved, believe not every spirit. Basically, it's the word there for believe is the word that better translated trust. Don't trust. And what is spirit? Spirit is anything that's not flesh. I mean, you understand? Your words are spirit. Your mind is your the words your mind tells you are spirit. They're not flesh. Beloved, believe not every spirit. And that means don't. It's talking about this thing. Believe not every spirit, but test the spirit whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. But you're confessing that he has come in the flesh because you have died. You can't confess that he's come in the flesh if you haven't died. He hasn't come in the flesh. You're still putting Jesus' name on your own ideas. We all have done it. But I pray we stop it. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Now, every thought of your mind to protect you or to tell you what to do about doing something is what? It's trying to seduce you, just like it does here. Every spirit that confesseth not, every word, every idea, everything that doesn't say that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh and you have died is not of God.
So,
this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world.
What's an example of a spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh?
When you give no breath to the flesh, no breath to time and space.
That would be your response to whatever it is. A thought.
The thought is the thought from your mind that it doesn't originate let me put it another way. If this thing says you should do something in order to get something or even do something for any reason, then this thing is not to be trusted. Because the Spirit of Christ is never going to tell you what to do next.
But if this thing denies a thought that comes from this thing and says that is of not of God,
we just repent, because it's going to try to constantly do it.
And so out of this same source, though, are two entities. One is denying itself, and the other is trying to cause itself to do things and not trust God. So out of the same place comes the message.
The difference is that we could get into the minor minutiae here, but the main thing is that the things from this thing always have something to do with setting your affections on things of the earth or things in time and space. This thing here, this mind of Christ, which has to have some vehicle. It's when this channel is empty, as we've talked about so many times. So it's a So the only being in that channel is the the only being in that channel is the Holy Spirit. Because everything that this thing confesses always has something to do with time and space.
But the vehicle of denial is of the same cranium, located in the same...
Well, it's because you have seen the mystery and you know that this can't be used ever again.
So then it is the mind of Christ in operation that says, do not believe that, trust God, wait.
Right, wait on Him, wait on the Father, wait.
So mind, I mean, they both live in the same house.
Yeah, but the mind... The mind of Christ is that's why the mind of Christ is this crazy word, kino, which just means totally empty, void. So that the channel is direct. And it's constantly trying to get you to go back to your own arm of understanding. It's constantly. That's its job, because that keeps the evil one in the picture. I write unto you, young adults, because you are strong and have overcome the evil one. Maybe you haven't overcome him often, but you've at least overcome him part of the time. And then in the Father position, I don't know if any of us are in there, but the Father position is, it's like, it would be the last thing in the universe you would do is to trust this thing for anything. Okay, let's well, let's go on. Verse 3, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof we have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. And so the whole mystery here is that the spirit of Antichrist is constantly trying to get you to pay attention to something in the world, in time and space, to give importance to something. It's the same thing, and we're back to the same message that was God gave to the snake. He's cursed forever. And by his appetites he shall be led, and dust shall he eat all the days of his life. And that's what your mind does.
Yeah.
Your mind is the snake. Your mind is Jacob. And that's why Pentecost is so critical, because it had to happen that the 120 that became believers, and then later 3,000, what happened was they counted the Omer correctly. They came to Pentecost empty. That's why there's two different descriptions. It's one to your children shall do this and that, and there's one to Well, we'll study this up there. But it's the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of Christ was shed on all flesh, it affected flesh. And it affected flesh, and you have these great ideas, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it's no, let's go there. Go to Joel 2:28.
Can you read number 4 before we leave this section? Because that's our
you
confidence.
Are of God, little children, and overcome them, because the greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Right.
Who's he talking to? All believers? No.
Those who are of God.
No, he's talking to those. That's why we just read what we did, because those were in opposition. They were still of the world. Again, nothing in the Bible is there by declaration. It doesn't, you're not dead unless you're dead.
So what does he mean, you are of God?
It means that he's talking to the people that who have buried the evil one. Dead and buried, gone forever. Buried in baptism. All right, let's go to Joel 2. No, we don't have time. This is, Pentecost is critical because of what led to Pentecost. Pentecost and Passover are one feast tied together by the counting of the Omer. And in the counting of the Omer, everything that they thought was good had to be confessed as what? But what happened? What are they confessing? What are they doing?
as useless and as dust, everything they thought was good.
Yeah. Everything that you, every idea, everything, anything that originates in the mind that you thought was good and think is good is just crap. And that's what the counting of the Omer is about. It's about coming out of the 49 gates of impurity. Remember, everything in the golden cup on the whore that whore had or has was is in the golden cup, because it's everything you think is good. It's in the golden cup. And the stars, the golden cup is seated on the snake.
Yeah. Would that not be good and evil? Well,
huh?
That would be good and evil.
No, the cross took care of the evil. The counting of the Omer takes care of the good. So you come to Pentecost as an empty vessel. No longer seeing what good or evil, as the curse was, so this form, this mystery of God, the fulfillment of the of Christianity, if you will, is not. I don't know where it's taught.
But this, what we're talking about, is all tied to the original sin. And this is the propitiation, the reconciliation, the redemption.
No, it's the death.
It's the redemption from that original separation from God. Well, what's the point?
It's only that if you see that it's your death, just as Christ did as Son of Man. You have to die.
In him on the cross, we look at that, hopefully we see that.
And you never again use this thing after that if you know you're dead.
Okay.
I mean, that's always the issue. Is it of faith or is it of your own arm of understanding? They can't be both. You know, like the stuff that's going on with your father. You have to see that it's not a. Deal with it, not as if it's an issue in time and space. Deal with it if it's a spiritual issue, and you'll have a whole new different mindset.
If I gave no thought and waited on him, I would just go to him and say, "Dad,
no, you wouldn't.
No thought anymore. I'm giving no breath to anything. I've surrendered."
That's what your mind would do.
Nothing.
No.
You are on your own.
No, that's not. That's bullshit.
That's part of it.
No, it isn't. It's nothing of it.
What is it?
It's trusting God.
Every moment.
Every second.
He's testing my patience because I'm not seeing anything changing.
Then I'm asking you, if the thing that you've been doing hasn't worked, then try faith.
I believe I've tried everything.
All right. No, I'm just.
I'm not saying I'm doing anything right.
Well, trust God in the let go part.
I don't really want to do anything right. I really don't want to do anything. I really just want to trust in Him.
But you got to understand, if it's by faith, you don't have any idea what's going to happen next. Because it's no longer your business. So it's not that you're going to say to him, well, I'm done, I'm out of here. You don't know what would happen, because now you're living by faith. And it's the mind of Christ that's in operation, not the mind of Jeff.
I agree.
And you won't take it as a chore. Again, as I said, and I'll say it until hell freezes over, living by faith is the scariest thing you can possibly do. And your mind is doing everything to make you believe it's not necessary. Consider these things. Take it, big guy.